Blog Talk Radio.
And a good afternoon to any listeners anywhere who might be listening during this unscheduled broadcast of Shut Up and Listen. I'm your host, The Voice, broadcasting live out of New York City on this April 12th, 2015. And as I said, it's another unscheduled broadcast. I know my normal broadcast times were normally 11 o'clock on Thursday night, but now my times are so scattershot, my personal schedules are so scattershot, my availability is not necessarily shot, but I've shot it to crap. But anyway, just in case anyone is listening live, you can call in here at area code 714-816-4604. That's area code 714-816-4604. Now, if anybody is listening to this after 4 o'clock this afternoon or after 4:30 when this broadcast is over or after the day, April 12th, naturally there's not a call-in time. But anyway, moving right along into this now. Well, first, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. And the reason I say that is simply because I've been closer to borderline insomniac. I've been reading a lot of books here lately, and it keeps me up late reading. I can't stop. I got this habit of reading early into the morning hours. And when I say early into the morning hours, I'm talking about 5 o'clock or even 6 o'clock or whatever. And I got up at 12 o'clock. That's 6 hours sleep. But I can be up for a short length of time, and then I'm sleepy again. That's how I'm feeling right now. I said the only way I could do this broadcast is if I committed myself to the time to do it, which is what I'm doing right now, here, as I speak, and as anybody listens, whoever happens to be listening anywhere. But there was just an abundance of different things that caught my eye in the media, which is what I usually talk about, things in society, things in culture, things that just catch my attention that I have an opinion on, things that I just weigh in on mentally, things that people pretty much have an opinion on, you know, and opinions coincide, opinions disagree, and people have altering and divergent and various viewpoints on it. Now, none of this stuff is new to me. None of this stuff is new, except maybe one thing, and it's relatively new. But none of this stuff is new, and the human behavior itself is not new. When you're old as I am, or, hey, I'm not talking 100 years old, but put it this way, I'm closer to 100 than I am to 20. But anyway, you know, viewpoints on things you've seen in life, and there's a lot of stuff that you can dispense with that people already know. There's a lot of stuff you can read and listen to in the media, and you say, I know it. I've known about this. I know how the world works. I know how the world functions. I know what motivates humans. I know the process of human nature as it is. You know, here we are, looking at some of this stuff, and here we are opinionating on it again. That's what I'm doing. Now, one of the cases in point, small thing, just moving by. I was looking at the news the week before last, and then again, they were talking about it on a stage, or someone was talking about it. One of these new ridiculous pranks out here, swatting. And that's swatting, just like, well, we're not talking about fly swatting, swatting bees. We're not talking about swatting flies, swatting. And for those of you who don't know, it's when people call these emergency police situations that merit the emergency response police team to houses. It generally happens, or so it seems, it generally happens to celebrities, public figures, houses. But, you know, I forget who it was with the latest incident in the news, but I'm saying to myself, who does it and why? And is it just to gauge response time and maybe effectiveness? Or is it a cover for something else going down someplace else? Or is it the result of, say, an insanity, or I call it craziness, that started to, well, I don't know, manifest itself more than 40 years ago? You know, because I've always been a firm believer that by the time we got into the late 60s and early 70s, a lot of adult behavior started to evolve into a sort of adolescence and a bratty child behavior. You know, that is to say, thumbing your nose at a lot of the established norms out here. And I know there was a lot of hypocrisy and established norms out here. Did I say established? Well, you know what I mean, because I was on my feet for an instant here. But there was a lot of hypocrisy out here that was exposed. And most people, if they were smart enough or wise enough in the ways of the world, knew that already. But so many people that were a part of my generation and generations afterwards, they did whatever they could just to thumb their nose at that same society that wasn't what it represented itself to be. As if any particular society or government is what it represents itself to be. But anyway, you know, you see it now. I don't know of any other time where I've seen so many adults over the last, well, here I go again, over the last 40 years or so that do or say things just for the sake of shocking and outraging people. So what you have now with the youth of the day is what I've always argued. The youth of the day, a lot of the grandchildren of the day, and a lot of the children, were the culmination of a lot of the insanity that was spawned in the 60s and the 70s. That is to say, a lot of the viewpoints, a lot of the attitudes, a lot of the actions, and in some cases, well, naturally, without goes without saying, a lot of the social changes. And that's not necessarily a bad, well, that's not a bad thing in a lot of ways. But it was all pretty much everything that has culminated in the fabric of society we have now was just about spawned in the 60s or the 70s. You know, and this is how I kind of, right off this silliness that we have here going on with things, with something that's popular and a stupid practical joke, something as crazy as swatting. It's dangerous. It puts people in harm's way. And it diverts where something else could be needed. Not that a SWAT team is needed every minute of every day in every city, no. But the whole act itself, in and of itself, is just stupid. But enough of that. Something else that I saw that caught my eye. Barbara Walters, who was, what was she, executive producer, creator of The View. She used to run herd over the show, The View, period. When asked if she thought Monica Lewinsky, and we all know who that is, if you live here at all, on the planet, and especially here in this country, you know who she is. She was asked in an interview if she thought Monica Lewinsky would be a good choice to be on The View, to be one of the panelists, one of the guests on The View, one of the guest hosts, one of the regular hosts, in fact, on The View. And she said yes. She thought she would be good. Now, I know it's been a long time since the whole Clinton Lewinsky debacle that we all remember. Any of us of any time and age, we all remember all too well. But the thing about it is, this is just another example of a person who has come out here. Her emergence on the national scene, her emergence into the American consciousness, was based on scandal. Scandal that she, in fact, was, by all accounts, complicit with. not a victim, but, you know, something of an accomplice, pretty much an accomplice in the whole thing. And, you know, without going into detail on the show here, here's another case of a person who it seems, well, in a way she has been rewarded as it is, but here's another case of a person who would ultimately wind up being rewarded as another prominent media figure to be a guest panelist on The View, a guest. And I keep saying guest as being a regular host on The View. And, you know, that's one thing. And I put it pretty much in the same context as reality shows. And if she were on the show, I don't think ratings would tank. I don't think things would go, the show in itself would decline. First off, I could say I'm not a fan of it to start with. But I think, and I do fully believe that what would happen is the ratings would either hold steady or increase. Either way, it wouldn't hurt her career. And I say that because you look at reality shows and you look at the amount of people that are on them that are famous for no good reason. And we can all name those names on these shows. I don't care if it's Housewives of any city in the country that you have now. I don't care if it's famous families whose names all start with the same letter and end with the same letter. And we all know who we're talking about there, too, as well. I don't care who it is there. What we have is the fact that we live in a society that's going to be willing to give them an audience. And this is what's going to happen with Lewinsky. People are going to be willing to give it and give her, as they have the view and viewpoints from her, an audience. The same way we have done with most of these reality stars who have nothing to contribute. Now, I understand Monica Lewinsky has started this anti-bullying campaign. Now, people start campaigns like this all across the country all the time. And they're not necessarily celebrities. And in a case like her, well, she shouldn't be a celebrity. No. Known, yes. Vilified, no. I don't think she should be. But to take everybody who has gotten notoriety for behavior or who has gotten notoriety for things centered in scandal, to take people like that and make them celebrities, that's you know, it's gone over the top with this now. It's gone over the top, and at some point it has to, well, reach a conclusion. And, you know, this whole thing would be just another case of giving someone an audience because of something shady or sleazy or both. And as I had said, in this society, we are willing to give that an audience. And as long as we don't come up to the media and say, hey, you've got to give us something better than what we're seeing here. You've got to give us something a little more viewer-worthy than what we're seeing here, then it's not going to change. And if that's not going to change, then it says tons about so much of the mindset. It says tons about so much of the mental set of this country. But anyway, that's just another one of the things I had an opinion on. Now, moving right along to this, Harvey Weinstein. We all know who that was. And the big producer. And the model. What's her name? Amber Batalana, I believe her name was. I'm not sure. I don't have it with me now. Okay. So, he had no charges filed against him. You know. And I'm not surprised. I had a feeling. His name might have been smeared. People might cast a baleful eye on him, or as they used to say in the 50s, they might give him the fish eye when they look at him. But they might have done that all along anyway, like they have done so many people in that industry anyway. But Harvey Weinstein beat the rap. And I can't, you know, I can't elaborate on all the charges and accusation on the case. But the model, Amber Badalana, made some strong claims. You know, things claiming that he put his hand up her dress, grabbing her breast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and whoever, whatever else went on. And while these things might, well, while these things probably happened, it seems to me that if she wanted to appear totally innocent of that, well, appear totally innocent of that kind of stuff going on, her legal advisors would not have allowed her, it seems like. Or the media, the press, to put the types of pictures we saw in the paper of her. It seems to me that the media, her legal advisors, would have tried not to allow the photo shots taken of her to be an example of her work. I mean, you know, here she was in provocative poses, in bikinis, in short shorts. I think in one photo she was in what looked like a denim skirt that was cut off and sheared to a very micro level. Every picture, it wasn't just a pose or a model picture or a face shot or any of the, you know, shots that you used to see or do see sometimes when people are going for a model job. You know. But, you know, they were some of the most provocative shots you could get to be put in a paper, that is to say. And what's also worth noticing is the very same model was involved in a similar accusation as a youth in Italy, and it involved a 70-year-old man who, to my understanding, said she was pretty much consenting and compliant. Where the Harvey Weinstein matter is concerned, it's an age-old story in show business. Modeling, anything in that industry. Sometimes it's been aggressive advantage, and oftentimes it's been straight up consensual. I mean, let's face it, you or anyone else who happens to be listening know in this world and how it works in that industry. And there are lots of people who come into that industry with every intention of doing what they have to do to get a name for themselves. Now, I'm not saying this is the case with her. What I'm saying is I take most of these things with accusations with a degree of credibility. But I also consider the fact that a good percentage of these things are quite often fabricated or, you know, embellished quite a bit. Now, you take this case. They spent 2 weeks probing on this. And after a two-week probe, they found out no charges were filed. So what was held here? I can't say. But anyway, this is the way the world works with that kind of situation. And boy, I had a lot to say. I have a lot of thoughts, but now that I'm on the air, they're just, you know, not coming. But as far as that case there with the Weinstein and the model, there's still a backstory there, as far as I'm concerned. And the backstory has come out there, I think. And because of the backstory, what you have now is something of a justifiable reason to squash the whole thing. But that's enough of that. Enough of that. What I ultimately wanted to talk about was ultimately race relations in America. Now, what you have here now, you have a recent spate of police shootings. That's not good. That's not good at all. And what you also have quite often is a media feeding frenzy on these shootings. And what you get resulting is a lot of black-white backlash that you normally did not get here in this world. Well, I don't say normally didn't get, because when people are around on their own, all kind of attitudes surface. But as far as living in a tolerant society, that's a whole different set of circumstances. Because now we live in a society, and let's face it, we hear a lot of talk about not having come afar. We hear a lot of talk about things haven't changed that much. Well, I will agree, things haven't changed in the sense that you can't make anybody like you because of your ethnicity. You can't make anybody love you. You can get demand respect. You can get respect in almost every case. There are cases where we don't. But I'm getting a strange disconnect here, because on the one end, we're hearing lots of talk in the media about how divisive the country is racially. And at the same time, we're seeing and looking at and tolerating things that we have never, ever, ever in the history of this country seen. I mean, you look on TV, you see interracial couples in TV shows, in movies. You're seeing celebrities marrying each other from the various races. You're seeing things flaunted in ways, and that's just in the media. You know, even I go to, you know, South. I go to North Carolina. I go to Virginia. I go to states like that. And I can see just as many mixed-race couples walking around shopping malls and walking around stores, coming into restaurants, going to various places that people go. And it's getting to be the norm. And it, to me, it seems even more so with the younger generations out here. You see more racial tolerance in one way than you've ever seen before in your life. But at the same time, you're hearing other people say that, well, we have a terrible racial divide. And what's happening, and let's face it, some of the actions of the police here lately have been pretty much close to thoughtless. You know, the recent shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, of the man in the back, and I don't know if there's any kind of backstory behind that. Everything I've seen on camera would suggest that it's not a backstory. And it looked cold. It looked senseless. It looked totally nonsensical. But what I do know is that killings of that caliber and other police sanctioned killings, well, like the chokehold takedown that took place here in New York and Staten Island. And with that, you had the audio as well as the video. This enamored us to a good amount of people. It inspired them to speak out on so-called police, black police on black victim crimes. And what happens is, to me, you get a lot of the people in both ethnicities, black, white, and in a lot of cases Hispanic too, who have been waiting in the wings for any reason to rise up and to vent, and to spew vitriol, and to spew dislike, and to spew any degree of racial divisiveness. This is what you're getting now. And, you know, it's because of that that I can truthfully say, yeah, I don't get it. this country is seeming more and more and more racial tolerant than it has in the history of itself. It's certainly not the America that you see out here now that you would have seen in the 30s, 40s, 50s, or even 60s. It's simply not. But at the same time, you still hear some people make, well, to me, I think it's not the smartest statement. It's kind of a dumb statement. I don't agree with it when people say nothing's changed, because I'll be doggone. You can't tell me nothing's changed. Things have changed. And while it's not apparent, and while attitudes remain the same, you can't just blatantly say nothing has changed. But no, it confuses me. And it makes me think, and if I weren't as tired as I was, maybe I could vent a little more about this. Maybe I could talk a little more in depth with this instead of the surface statements I'm making. But at this point, I think I have had my fill of today's show. And because of that, I think it's time for me to go back to my regular 11 o'clock broadcast, in which case I might be in a little better form. And, a little better form, and I may... I might be a little better able to express myself other than I am right now on this particular day. But in the meantime, what you've been listening to is Shut Up and Listen. I'm your host, The Voice. And if anybody did listen, or if anybody listens on the archives, you can just log on to SUAL, or Shut Up and Listen, rather. Or in this case, Shut Up and Listen 2. That's the number 2. And you can find the archived programs, some of which are better than the ones I did today. And the second thing is, you might want to start listening again at 11 o'clock, because I fully intend to go back to my regular 11 o'clock time slot. So, until then, you've been listening to Shut Up and Listen. Once again, I'm your host, The Voice, and for all or any listeners who might be out there, have a nice afternoon.